Hey, everyone. It's Naomi Wolf of Daily Clout, and I'm thrilled to be back with Tiffany Justice of Moms for Liberty. Tiffany, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me back on.
So, I'm really so happy to talk to you again. I last spoke to you about 2 months ago, and you and your group, Moms for Liberty, based in Florida, but a national group, were advocating for our kids in this horrible lockdown world we're living in. And you guys had a lot of movement, getting kids back in schools, getting, advocating for them so that they're not left behind and their rights are not trampled. And I wanted to reach out to you because you have some updates, and one of them involves taking a mask off your child. Will you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you said, I'm from Florida, and Tina Deskovich and I started Moms for Liberty here. And we really felt like we were 6 to 12 months ahead of the rest of the country in schools where parents were fighting to open schools. We were open, but dealing with all these issues with quarantines and masking and kind of finding our way through. So different districts were handling things differently. I was on the school board here in Indian River County, so I was part of creating a reopening plan. When we created the reopening plan, we told parents that masks would be required when social distancing wasn't possible. And so all of the board members and parents believed that masks would be the exception, not the rule. But as many people found out quickly across the country, 6 feet is hard in schools. They're not built for 6 feet. And anyone who knows how schools are built will know that it's really measured on class size and the amount of students they want at that school. So 6 feet of distancing was an impossibility. And so we found that quickly in some of our schools. And most my kids, I have four kids, and they did okay with it. They didn't enjoy wearing the mask, but they understood that they had to wear it to go to school. And that was something that was important to our family. But one of my sons really struggled. And we started to see it exacerbating issues that we knew he had struggled with before, staying on task, his attention. We saw increased anger and aggression, depression, anxiety, and he seemed to feel like he was walking on eggshells every day. When could he take the mask off? When couldn't he? The other thing that really made it hard was our 9-year-old son was allowed to take his mask off at his desk. And our 11-year-old son was not. And so there was just this, dinner time conversation every night, Naomi, where my son Griffin, and I've asked his permission to talk about it, and he said that it was okay because there are a lot of kids just like him,
Absolutely.
who wouldn't need a medical exemption normally. They may just have normal kid syndrome stuff, right? But now all of a sudden, in order for them to not wear a mask, the government is basically asking us to label them with a medical issue. And so out of principle, I felt that was wrong. I never want to label my child with anything that is a barrier to him growing and learning if it's not something that's real and necessary. Just really tried to work with the school. We identified from the beginning of the year he was struggling. And it just didn't seem like they wanted to find a place for him to be able to take his mask off when he was in class.
What did they say?
Just that it was difficult to do socially distance and that he was being a behavior issue. So here I have this extremely bright, funny child, 11, who has straight A's, but I'm hearing from the teachers all the time about how he won't stay on task and he won't pay attention and they can't motivate him to work. And so it just felt like there was a real disconnect to me.
But why, when you said, I want his mask off, he's got, I want a medical exemption for him. What did they say? No, he can't.
Well, they didn't say no, he couldn't have a medical exemption, but just out of principle, I felt like, I could go to my pediatrician and ask him to write a medical exemption, but I'm asking him to write a medical exemption for something that, should be solved in the classroom. And for one of my sons, the teachers are doing that,
Right. It's
right? They're identifying children that need the break.
right. Well, I mean, this whole thing of identifying children that need the break, every child needs to not wear a mask. I mean, let's just establish up front, the data are in. Masks do not help with the spread of COVID in schools, and they are confirming multiple harms to kids. Developmentally, a study I'm sure you've seen shows from South Korea shows that kids communicate less when they're masked, understandably. They socialize less when they're masked. Kids with ADD, as many of our kids have ADD, I have ADD, you know, struggle to focus. When I'm wearing a mask, I cannot do anything else because all of my energy and attention is focused on just breathing breath by breath, because it's so difficult. You know, kids who are hard of hearing can't communicate, you know, on and on and on. And other kids, it's heartbreaking. Middle schoolers who are hit so hard have talked about how they can't make new friends because, you know, social cues are done by the face. And yeah. I think I've shared with you, or maybe I didn't, that my, you know, children I love and am close to, when they come over, I see that they have lost kind of the use of their lower faces. They don't signal and they don't really understand. So we're kind of turning kids into, you know, kids on the spectrum, even if they're not on the spectrum, because they're having trouble learning and transmitting social cues.
Absolutely.
And Megan Mansell, whom I interviewed, who's also in Florida, points out that children learn speech by watching the teeth and tongue and lips. So it's catastrophic. So a child shouldn't be labeled as having a problem if they don't want to wear a mask. If anything, it's a problem if they're not struggling, right? Because it means that their spirit has been broken or that they've given up. So I totally get that you didn't want to have to say there's something wrong with my child so that he can take his mask off. And I support any parent who resists that. Why? I don't understand how with HIPAA and the Americans with Disabilities Act, you're being obligated to produce any information from a doctor. You are legally protected from ever answering a question like that. So why is that? Why does HIPAA not protect you and your son from?
I don't know. And when I spoke to his pediatrician about it, he said to me, you know, Tiffany, Griffin is a great kid and he's struggling to wear the mask because it's affecting his ability to communicate. And so I finally did go to him at this tipping point because Griffin came to me and he said, I hate school.
Yeah, I don't.
I hate my life. I don't want to go to school anymore. And so that was on a Sunday night. And I just looked at my husband and I said, Mark, I have got to go in that classroom and figure out if there's space for him. I have to get eyes on it. In education, that's what people will say. If there's a problem and you want to problem solve, you want to get your eyes on it and see what's happening.
But can I just ask, in terms of parents' rights, like even before we go there, why is it not enough to just say, I'm his mom and I don't want him wearing a mask in school? Why is that not professional? Why don't you have that right to take the mask off his face?
Well, I mean, I think what you're talking about is the real root of the problem here in America right now, that parents have been pushed out of public schools and that parents, as the expert of their own child, are not being respected. That insight is not being respected. Parents want to partner with their children's schools, but I don't need to co-parent. My child is not an orphan. When he goes to school, when he comes home, he has me. And, you know, I've raised him. I know him better than anyone else. I gave birth to him. So I don't know the answer to that, Naomi.
I mean, let me ask it maybe a different way. And I totally hear everything you're saying about parents being dislodged. But even just practically, by what law does your child's public school have the right to put anything on your child's body? That's what I'm asking.
So as a school board member, when I was sitting and we made the reopening plan, it was very much about getting teachers back to classrooms.
Right.
And it was making assurances that teachers would be protected.
Right.
And
right.
Part of that was putting masks on kids. And so, as I said,
is that a legal thing or is it a voluntary thing? Are these guidelines or are they laws? Like, I don't see why you can't disobey it now. Right? I don't think you're going to get arrested. It doesn't have enforcement authority. I don't think school boards have enforcement authority. What will happen if parents just disobey what is, you know, a well-intentioned but now clearly outdated policy?
Yeah, absolutely nothing. Nothing will happen. The truth of the matter is that the Governor DeSantis came out and said that there wouldn't be any penalties for mask mandates, mask requirements. And schools kind of ignored that and continued to operate on their own. They had submitted plans to the DOE and they were following those plans and they just did not want to change them or revise them. Even as new information came up, even as the CDC is saying 6 feet to 3 feet, my school district in Indian River County said, well, we're not going to change things now. And I said, right. When you know better, do better. And when you're dealing with children, Yeah. The time is now. There is no time to waste if you can remove a barrier for a child in their learning.
So now when you say to your child's school, and really Griffin's being so brave and also very altruistic and sharing this story, which I can assure you, Griffin, millions and millions of other people your age, younger and older, also having the exact same struggles. I would too if I was forced to wear a mask all day. When you say to the school, this is outmoded, the data show that masks are harming kids, masks are harming my kid, I want to take his mask off, what do they say? Because they have no legal right to force Griffin to wear a mask or to force you to comply. I want to know what they say to you. It's not our policy. Like, what's the answer?
School board policy, that it's in the policy that students must be masked if they're not 6 feet apart. So I said, okay, I'd like to come in and see his classroom. We had offered that to parents to come in and see where their child was sitting, see the classroom set up, see if they could arrange for him to sit somewhere. So I asked on Monday morning to walk my child into class and to be able to tell him, Griffin, it's safe to take your mask off. You're not going to get in trouble. You're not going to get yelled at, because he was very worried about that, Naomi. We teach our children to be compliant.
Jesus. I'm sorry. I should not have taken many people's Lord's name in vain. It's just so painful to listen to the complexes that kids are being, like, we're taking mentally healthy kids and making them obsessive compulsive. You know, I'm scared to take it off. I'm scared to put it on. What am I allowed? Like, this constant monitoring of the self, it is anti-American. It is un-American. It's not how we raise our children. We raise them to have initiative and rely on their own judgment and not to be continually broken and submissive. And this mask thing, it's more psychologically damaging even than physically, as bad as the physical effects are. Okay, so then what happened?
So they tell me no. On Monday morning, they say there's a board policy, 24 hours, that you can't go and visit your child's classroom. And I was on the board and I said, I've never seen this policy used in this way, weaponized in this way. It doesn't make sense to me. Why? So the thing to remember is, through all of this, Naomi, every time I'm being presented with some type of arbitrary ridiculousness, I'm asking why. Tell me why that is. Right? Well, I that caused a problem. They didn't like that I was questioning it, and so it was 9:15 on Monday morning, and she said 24 hours, and I said, okay, great, I'll be back tomorrow.
School board?
The principal.
Got it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I said,
24-hour advance notice from you that you are coming to visit a class, which I've never heard of either, frankly, but go ahead.
Yeah, I said, okay, I've not seen this used like this before, but I'll be back tomorrow then. And she said, no, well, it's actually 9:15 and school starts at 9 o'clock or 9:10. So you'll have to come in on Wednesday.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Sorry.
I say,
go ahead.
Why? Right? Yeah. Well, because it's 24 hours. So I say why, and then this pattern becomes, I say why, they give me some phony answer, and I say, okay, because you can't, you know, at some point you're trying to teach your child to advocate responsibly.
Right.
He was there with me. So Tuesday, I find out that a board member goes into the school and has private conversations with my children's teachers. Yes. And then emails me and tells me, your son gets mask breaks all the time. He's not telling you the truth.
Oh my God.
Yep.
But he shouldn't need a mask break if his mother says he's not to wear one, and it's not the law, which it isn't, to make him wear one. He should not be put in the position of asking for a mask break and being lied about. That's shocking. They're trying to blame the victim. Okay, go ahead. Then what happened?
Okay. So I go in on Wednesday morning and we kind of enter without a lot of fanfare. I got my visitor pass. I took him up to school. I had come in a couple minutes late, just knowing that I didn't want to attract attention from other, you know, I didn't want to cause disruption. So we go upstairs and we go in the classroom, and absolutely no accommodations have been made for him. Now, they've known for 48 hours that he's coming in and he's going to be needing a place to sit in the classroom without a mask on.
Right.
There has been no effort.
Well, what should there be? I mean, if his desk is 6 feet apart, isn't that sufficient?
None of the desks are 6 feet apart. They're still sitting in pods together. So there are some students that have a separate area to sit if they've been dealing with some behavioral things, but Griffin hadn't been given that option. So we walk in the classroom and there's a center's table where I sit down. Griffin sits at his normal desk because at this point now I've been told that if I'm a disruption, I'm going to be removed by a police officer.
Oh my God, who told you that?
The principal.
She said, if you're a disruption, you're going to be removed by a police officer?
And she said, please don't make me do that.
Oh my God, it's Russia in the 50s. Okay, go on. That's
so we sit down and I didn't want to pull his desk away or anything because I was concerned that would be considered a disruption, right? If the children came off task. So I sat down, I said, Griffin, buddy, just go sit down at your seat and hopefully your teacher will tell you what to do.
And without,
she doesn't say anything to him.
Without a mask? Griffin's without
no mask. He has no mask on.
Good for him.
And so she doesn't say anything to him for a minute or two. And then they start something called Sanford Harmony, which is an inclusive practice. It's a circle where they sit and they talk together about their feelings or their pets or just, you know, relationship building. Yeah. And so she says to the class, okay, kids in the back row, turn your seat around. And everybody else come to the back of the room. And so now they're especially not socially distancing. They're sitting in an area that's like 12 feet by 5 feet, all crammed together. And I'm looking at all the kids and they've got masks on their chin, gaiters down around. No one's wearing it with fidelity. It's not being policed with fidelity. You know, I mean, so Griffin's sitting there and I'm waiting to see what's going to happen. Mm. And she looks at him and she says, Griffin, you don't have a mask on. You're going to have to get out of the circle.
Oh my God.
Yep. And I watched him fumble out of his chair, walk to the front of the classroom by the desk, with his hands in his pockets, Naomi, and his head down. And he turns around and I saw he had tears in his eyes. And I said, Griffin, buddy, come stand by me.
Oh God.
So at this point now, I see the teacher motion to an aide in the class. And I don't know why the aide is there. Sometimes aides are there for other children. She could have been there to supervise me, but it's not my place to ask. I know the rules. The aide leaves, and about 2 minutes later, there's a knock on the classroom door, the teacher coming in, and there's a police officer there. And I've been identified as being a disruption in my child's class.
And what had you been doing at that point, sitting quietly or saying, come sit with me?
I was sitting quietly, completely quietly. Yep. And I had just asked for him to come stand by me. So I said, I absolutely am not being a disruption. I'm here to support my son. Please let me go back in there. He's standing by himself now. And all the kids are doing Sanford Harmony. And I said, you know, no accommodations have been made to make him feel included in the classroom, even though he's not wearing a mask. And she said, well, I'm just telling you, Mrs. Justice, if you cause it a problem, the police officer is going to have to escort you out. We can't. I said, I promise you.
How to include him in the circle?
I'm sorry?
She didn't talk about how to include your child in the circle who was in the middle of being traumatized by this experience? Okay, go ahead. Then what?
Yep. So I said, I have been a school board member. I've had a background check done. I have no criminal history, no violent background. I am absolutely not a danger to anyone in this school. I do not understand why there's a police officer here now. And she said that was her choice and she felt it was necessary. So I went back into the classroom.
The teacher said it was her choice.
No, the principal said it was her choice.
Her choice. Rather than accommodate your child in a circle with his peers, with his mask off, because that's his decision and your decision, she's ostracizing him, discriminating against him visibly and calling the police on his mom. Okay, go ahead. I'm listening.
So there were events that happened throughout the day and the police officer was there monitoring all of them. My 9-year-old son said to me at the end of the day, Mommy, when Robert's grandma comes and volunteers, she doesn't have a police officer with her. And I just felt like I had been set up almost to be intimidated, to be shamed, to be made an example of. How dare I question? How dare I question?
You and your son, how old is Griffin?
He's 11. He just turned 11.
You and your 11-year-old son were both set up to be intimidated and to have examples made of both of you. Yeah. And this is one of the most shocking stories I've ever heard. It would have been so easy to say to this circle, open up, give Griffin a little bit extra space. We're so happy to have you, Griffin. Make yourself comfortable. But that did not happen. Griffin was sent off, excluded, marginalized, traumatized, punished psychologically. Yep. And then he had to witness his mother. And I, sorry for my dog. I can tell you because I was arrested when my kids were about your kids' age for First Amendment protected protest. And it is scary when mom is arrested, or it is scary when mom has a police officer showing up possibly to take mom into custody and you think it's all your fault. So this is like a multi-layered trauma for your child, let alone for you. You're a grown-up, you're very brave. Your child has been traumatized and made an example of, ostracized, discriminated against in every illegal way in this school. Okay, what happened then?
And so everything I'm seeing, right, throughout this day is affirming to me what he's told me, that he's being singled out, that he's being treated badly. And so I just said at the end of the day, I said, you know, to the principal, said, well, do you feel comfortable sending him back? And I said, you know, I really would like to see you guys take some proactive steps to create spaces that are safe for him to sit, safe for the other children, but that he doesn't feel singled out and made to feel badly.
Accommodating someone with a medical thing that he's chosen to do, which is breathe, but, you know, they're calling it, you know, exceptionable, but they have no right to even ask. They're legally obligated to accommodate him. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I said that I would send them, but I was going, I was really trying to give them a chance. I've been a real public education advocate. I believe in the power of public ed. So I'm trying to help them to work through it too, because there will be other children with mass exemptions. I asked her, I said, do you have any other students? I would say, how do you handle this situation with other students on your campus who have a mass exemption? She said, well, I don't have any.
God.
And so no planning had been made for even a child who may need to be accommodated.
No, there was planning. I'm sorry to be so cynical, Tiffany, but the planning was to make sure a police officer was there. Why do you think they needed 2 days from the time you said, I'm going to be in my child's school? They needed time to get a police officer ready and available to shadow you all day. That's why they needed that extra day.
The worst thing about it. Yeah, the worst thing about it, Naomi, is they use their school resource officer. So that's someone who builds relationships on their campus with students. That person is also responsible for keeping that campus safe. We have very, you know, clear safety plans. So while he was supervising a mom of four in her fifth grader's class, God forbid something had happened on that campus and he wasn't able to be responsive. So
exactly. It's an abuse of resources as well.
It was. It really was.
It's a security problem because, you know, they're monitoring the mom and leaving other possible security issues unattended. It's horrific on every level. The thing I'm especially thinking about is that word has spread and other moms who might want to take their children's masks off and dads have heard that, you know, Tiffany got shadowed by a police officer and that your son was singled out and humiliated publicly and ostracized. And so they're not going to inflict that on their kids. So it was a demonstration of power and it was a message to other parents and it's shocking. So what are you going to do? You're a really well-organized activist. You've got this very brave young man. And I really want to give a huge shout out to Griffin because as I'm hearing this story, I mean, he's choosing again and again and again to be brave, not just in the class, but, you know, letting you talk about it, speaking up about it, not being silent. And I've thought a lot about what to do for our kids in a time like this. And I firmly believe that it's less traumatic for them if they see their parents fighting for them.
Yes.
Even if you don't win or you don't win at first, or even if it's super painful, I think you are protecting him from, you know, real soul crushing long-term trauma because he sees that some grown-ups are saying, this is not okay. We're going to fight this. And he sees you standing up, even if you're not successful at first, to fight for him, you know?
Absolutely.
But go ahead. What happens next?
No, absolutely. And so I think everything you said was just correct. I think it was meant to set an example. It was horrific. I was horrified that a parent would ever be treated like this in the district. I was shocked. A couple different things happened. And we ended up setting a meeting up for Tuesday after school to sit down. And it was, again, another setup. They wouldn't tell us who was coming to the meeting. It wasn't a meeting. I thought we were having a meeting about Griffin, but it becomes some meeting about with the teachers, and there was an agenda. And so my husband just looked at me, and he had said before, you know, Tiffany, I think we just maybe need to pull him out. If we go to this meeting and it is a difficult meeting, you know, how many times do we need to see that this might not be a healthy environment for Griffin, right? And I'm saying, okay.
This meeting, what was the point of the meeting? I'd like to know.
You know, I don't know. I thought we were talking about Griffin and some of the challenges that he had faced this year and how we were going to help to make his life better and easier. And that didn't seem to be what it was. And so
was it about telling you and your husband that you were misbehaving as parents? Did they use to communicate that?
It was basically the same message that we've heard all year, like fix your kid, right? Be the heavy. Tell your kid that he just needs to get his work done and conform. I mean, that's what I've heard all year, that he's a behavior issue.
Were they trying to say he has to wear his mask, or was it being redirected to he's a problem because
I had gotten a mask exemption at that point. So I went to my pediatrician and I said, listen, if he's going to go back to the classroom, I need the exemption because they are just disrespecting him. And my pediatrician said, okay, Tiffany, let's go ahead and do that because obviously he's being traumatized. And so on both sides now, I mean, I have people saying to me, I can't believe you would send your kid back to school. And then I have other people that are saying, you know, that maybe I'm not being like nice enough to the teachers or understanding enough to the teachers. And so really my
saying that parents were saying that you're not
people in the, not parents, no, but, school staff, district staff,
of course, that's a talking point. I just want to tell you, we're hearing that across the country. That is a talking point that's coming down from the teachers unions, you know, to guilt provoke parents into not standing up for their children. And it's incredibly cynical. And by the way, the teachers unions K through 12 are getting millions and millions in Gates funding, and that's behind a lot of these efforts to break our children's spirits. I'm not sure exactly why. That could be subject of another discussion, but I'm letting you know. It's, you know, I looked at his 990s. It's all K through 12 education to crush children. But go ahead. What happened then?
Well, and I have a few thoughts on that, and someday we can talk about that. So anyway, my husband and I at this meeting, I say he has a mask exemption now, but you know what? We're going to pull him out of school. We need to figure out how he finishes school transitionally because this is not working. The teachers leave, slam their chairs into the desk, go out of the room, slamming the door. And then that night, two of those teachers went to the school board meeting and spoke publicly about me and my son. It was awful.
What did they say?
You know, I actually haven't watched the entire thing. I can give you an example of one situation.
This was recorded on Zoom? This was a recorded meeting?
Oh, it was a public meeting.
A public, but it was recorded.
Yes, ma'am. Public. Yeah, sure.
Oh, God, poor Griffin. Oh, God.
And so what they tried to say, Naomi, was this. Because I started Moms for Liberty, because I'm an advocate for children, because I saw what was happening at the end of this year and the beginning, the end of last year and the beginning of this year, and I fought to make masks optional, and I'm helping parents around the country to fight for their parental rights. They said that I was using my experience with my son to forward that. And I said, you know what? No, I said, no. I said, I will not allow you to do that to me. I will not allow you to shame me. Every civil rights leader that has ever been in this country has been born out of the issue that they were fighting. And I am convicted and compelled. I will fight for Griffin and other children, and I will not be shamed for that.
This is so shocking. I'm literally getting chills. All those teachers had to do was to... all those teachers had to do was to, you know, move the circle bigger. That it's literally down to that. All they had to do was welcome your son, you know, just like they're supposed to welcome every child with whatever physical condition that child has or whatever way that child chooses to be. They're not supposed to discriminate if a child is wearing a, you know, chador or a niqab. They're not supposed to discriminate if a child is wearing, you know, an afro. They're not supposed to discriminate if the child has a tattoo, you know, or has orthodox ringlets. They are supposed to treat all children exactly equally, masked or unmasked. It is unlawful. And I also want to say, as a mom, I'm so angry hearing this, for Griffin's sake, of course, for yours, but how the hell could they expect you to fight for other kids, other parents, kids across the country, and not fight for your own child and then turn that against you. That would be insane for you to sacrifice Griffin's well-being and fight for other people's kids. I'm horrified. And what of that's got to be also an unlawful violation of the confidentiality that they owe to their students. You can't publicly talk about children's struggles or issues or, you know, even achievements without their permission on a public forum. That is absolutely, it's got to be unlawful and a violation of privacy.
They're justifying it, Naomi. They're justifying it by saying, because I've spoken publicly, that they get to too. But I know as it, I know because I've served as a school board member, that's a violation of FERPA.
They can
you cannot do
you,
that.
They can't, right, and they cannot talk about your child.
No.
He's a minor. He hasn't consented to have his name, you know, dragged through a public debate with adults who are not his parents. You know, he may have consented to you or you may have a relationship. You're his mom. You're legally responsible for him. They're not his parents and they have no right to invade his privacy. So let's call them out. Who are these teachers and who are these principals? Are you willing to name them? I think you should.
No, because I really don't want you because we're in the middle of investigations, honestly, you know, and the truth of the matter. And so while my instinct as a mama bear is, I mean, you know, you're getting me a week later. I'm calmer now than I was. I was much angrier. Now I'm reflecting. And last night we had a chapter chair meeting with moms across the country. And there were 17 different chapters, all these different moms dealing with lots of different issues. And I shared with them that I was right there with them and that we were fighting together and that we were going to be stronger when we united. And so the message really out of this, Naomi, is that I don't know why parents are being pushed out of public schools, but nothing good will come of it. Parents are the number one driver of student success, and schools should be rolling out the red carpet, inviting parents in to partner with them. But that's not what they're doing. And parents really need to take a step back and ask themselves, why? Why don't schools want us to be there? Why do we have to do a public records request to see what our children are learning?
Right. You shouldn't have to. No. I have to say, I'm embarrassed to listen to this because my kids went to private schools. I didn't pay for it. Luckily, a relative, you know, of the family paid for it. But we never were treated like this. So there's like a two-tier system in our country where, you know, children whose parents or relatives afford to send them to private school do get treated like partners and welcomed and, yeah, and cosseted. And it sounds like parents who are making use of public education, as every parent has a right to, which should be as good as any education anywhere in the country, yeah, are being not just insulted, not just intimidated, but dislodged in a really kind of Communist Party way from being custodians of their children's well-being, let alone being able to keep the schools from abusing their children. And I think the data are in that forcibly masking children is child abuse. Like, there's no question about that now. And so for you to have been intimidated and publicly shamed and your child being dragged into it because you stood up to stop the abuse of your child, is it should be a national and international story. And we'll do all we can to make it one. The school board should be ashamed. So very briefly, is Griffin going to stay in the school or do you not know? Are you going to take him out?
I've pulled him out. He's home with me.
Okay, good. Good.
He's home with me. No, I mean, when you see that your child is hurting as a parent, you have to immediately step in and do something. And I can't send him back into that type of environment every day. It's not fair. And if I'm not welcome, then never would I ever send my child into any situation that I couldn't go in and check out beforehand.
Shocking. And I guess my next question is, and it's the last one, I do see that parents are organizing, like Moms for Liberty are organizing, to get the masks off kids and to get kids into schools, you know, 5 days a week, in-person schools. And I really want to thank you, as always, for the work you're doing. It does seem like Governor DeSantis, your governor, issued a statement that masks are no longer mandated in schools in Florida. Isn't that a little bit of a victory? I mean, doesn't that help you at least to say, look, the governor down to the Department of Ed said these are not, you know, optional, they're not mandatory?
Absolutely. It absolutely does help. So each individual school district, as I said, was able to submit a plan, and those plans really varied. We had some districts that had masks that were optional. We had some districts like ours where it was very, very strict. And so it does absolutely help because districts have no excuse now. They know that masks are going to be optional next year. They have time to plan as needed. They have plenty of money. The federal government has sent millions and millions and millions of CARES Act money down into schools. So there is no excuse. We need to do right by our children. And I just want to say thank you. And thank you to Ron DeSantis, and thank you to Martin Koldorf and Jay Batchelder. I'm going to butcher his name. Yes, thank you. And Sunitra Gupta and Dr. Atlas for standing up for children in a time where really people are trying to damage their credibility for speaking the truth. And if we all stand together and we say, we are parents, we are citizens, and we know what our rights are, and we defend them together, I really believe that we can change the future of this country.
Well said. And I'm just going to chime in for those who have not followed what you just described. Dr. Bhattacharya, Dr. Koldorf, and Dr. Gupta are the three signatories of the Great Barrington Declaration who came down, one of them by Zoom because she's in Britain, but Dr. Bhattacharya and Dr. Koldorf in person to sit with Ron DeSantis twice recently and one meeting to say, take the masks off the kids. They do not help. They don't protect them. They're not at risk. And these scientists have been harassed and attacked. I know, I feel the same way. They're heroes. And yet they told the truth. Ron DeSantis listened. You stuck up for your child. Griffin hung in there. And this small group of truth-telling people have inspired others and really, you know, led to this huge outcome, which is, you know, I tweeted to Martin Koldorf, I'm so honored to know people who brought about the end of child abuse for millions of children in Florida. And that is literally what that this advocacy comes down to. So thank you to you. Thank you to Moms for Liberty. Thank you to me. Thank you to Griffin, right? Tell him, like, this isn't his job, but he's being very brave. And we're cheering for him. We're rooting for him. We're rooting for you and your family. And I know that this interview will inspire moms and dads around the country, around the world. I'm just going to ask you to send us any kind of templates of a letter or material you think parents should have. I'm going to embed it in this video so that they can do the same thing in their school. Thank you for being an awesome mom, a tiger mom, a mom for liberty. Thank you so much, Tiffany Justice and Griffin.
Thank you very much, Naomi.
Take care. Thanks for sharing this.